I'd open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 6 tonight of Malachi chapter 3. A very powerful verse in the Word of God. And it says simply this: "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God says, He makes a declarative statement, He reminds them, and they need to be reminded. As we've looked through the book of Malachi, we've seen the shape of the nation of Israel and where they're at, going through and making all of the forms of godliness and denying the power thereof. Going through following all of the rituals, and God says, "Look, you've polluted my table." He says, "You've dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth." And He goes through and has named sorceries and idolatries and false swearers and oppressors of widows and strangers and orphans and all of these things. And God says, "You need to be reminded, I am the Lord. I am the Lord." Let's pray and we'll look at the message tonight. Father, I ask that You would help us to be able, God, I pray for the ability tonight to be able to present You through the Word of God as Lord. And God, there's no way that I can do it justice. There is no way that I can portray You as the Lord that You are, but Father, with the help of Your Word, and Your Word can do what I cannot. And I pray that as we look at Your Word tonight, that we will see You as Lord and understand what that means. And I pray for this, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at the Word of God, the phrase, "I am the Lord," if I'm not mistaken, takes place 162 times in the Bible. God makes that statement just reminding people from time to time, "I am the Lord." We're going to look at some of these verses tonight, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, and we're going to look at some times when Jesus and when God the Father made the statement, "I am the Lord." In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." God here is declaring to the nation of Israel, He says, "You don't have to doubt it. You do not have to doubt that you are going to be made free. You do not have to doubt that you're going to be taken out of bondage. You do not have to doubt that you are going to be redeemed, because I am in charge. I am the Lord." And you think about that. In Egypt, we know, being a picture of our own salvation, leaving the world and turning to Jesus Christ and starting on that journey toward heaven. And we look at that, and there is no doubt, when God turned to us and God says, "Look, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Will you come unto me?" He makes the statement, "Look, I can bring you out of Egypt. I can release you from the bondage of sin. I have paid the price through my Son on the cross to redeem you. I am the Lord. I can accomplish this." We move to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And verse 2, right before God gives the Ten Commandments, and the word, and God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God," look at this now, "which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Before, in chapter 6, it was, "I will bring you out," and now God looks back and says, "I have accomplished what I told you I would do. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And He says, "I have some rules for you. I am the Lord. Here are 10 commandments that I am going to give to you, and I get to give them to you because I am the Lord, because I am in charge. I am God." Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. And we are not going to look, obviously, at all 162 verses tonight. But we have picked a few that show principles that are connected with the fact that He is the Lord. Chapter 11 of Leviticus and verse 44. God says, "I am the Lord your God. Ye shall..." Now, what is that? That is the Lord, the one that's in charge, telling to the ones that are underneath, ye shall. This is a commandment. It is clear. It is laid out. Ye shall, therefore, sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of the creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And he goes on from there. But he says, look, I am the Lord, and ye shall sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy because I am holy. Turn to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18, verse 4. He refers now to his word. He says in Leviticus 18, verse 4, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. Well, God, how do you get to tell me to do that? God, how is it that you tell me that I have to keep your ordinances and your judgments? Who are you, God? He finishes the verse and makes that statement. I am the Lord your God. That's why God gets to tell us what to do. Because he is the Lord. Because he is in charge. We're not. He is. And he says, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord. Verse 6 of the same chapter. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. He goes through and begins an entire set of morality. And he says, I get to tell you what to do because I am the Lord. And there's an entire nation out here, and they say, who are you to tell us what to do? And he says, I am the Lord. I get to tell you what to do. One, because I created you. Two, because I am God. Three, because I am the Lord. I get to tell you what to do, and it is your job. Ye shall do what I tell you. He's God. And it doesn't matter whether the entire nation rejects it. And he goes through and lists all of the levels of morality and immorality and tells them what they're to do and what they're not to do. There in Leviticus, turn to verse 21 of the same chapter. He says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. He says, look, all the people, it does not matter what they're doing. It does not matter that they're killing babies. It does not matter what they're taking them and heating up a statue and laying their babies and searing them on that statue. It doesn't matter whether Planned Parenthood is approved by the government or not approved by the government. He says, you are not to let your seed pass through the fire. And you say, well, it's the law. It's okay. It's not God's law. And God gets to make the laws, and God says at the end of that verse, he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, Leviticus 19, verse 28. Leviticus 19, verse 28 says, ye shall not. Okay, it's a commandment. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. And then it says this, nor print any marks upon you. God says, look, I'm against all of this tattoo stuff. That's for the heathen. He says, I am telling you, I created you. Your body belongs to me. He says, look, I am the Lord. I get to tell you what to do with your body. Well, it's my body. Who said? Whose body is it? If you're a saved person, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he looks at it and says, look, don't you go out and print a mark on your body. It doesn't matter whether everybody's doing it. But God, there's a tattoo shop on every corner. There's even one in town where you can get a haircut and a tattoo at the same time, or at least that's what it looks like from the advertisement or the name of it out there. Stay away from those places. You're not allowed to. Say, on what basis? How can you tell me what to do? I'm not telling you what to do. God said afterwards, I am the Lord. It's not me. I'm just telling you what God said. And God said it, and it's clear as day. And why in the world would Christian people go out and directly violate the Word of God? But that's where we're getting in this day and age. Because people have forgotten who the Lord is. Everybody thinks, I'm my own God. and that's the way that they live. I am the Lord. Chapter 19 and verse 31. We looked at this verse when we looked at sorcery. He says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. There are certain things that Christian people ought not to participate in. And God, in making that instruction, he reminds them and says, I am the Lord. I get to tell you what to do. I am the Lord. Verse 32 of the same chapter deals with respect. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Well, who are you to tell me what to do? I am the Lord. And you ought to treat elderly people with respect. You ought to treat your elders with respect. I am the Lord. I get to tell you what to do. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 6. All through the book of Ezekiel, 22 times in the book of Ezekiel, God says this phrase, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. There are certain things that he's going to do to the nation of Israel to remind them that he's God and they're not. There are certain things he's going to allow to happen to their nation to remind them that he is the Lord. They are not. They're not in charge. He is. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. These people had rebelled against God. They'd rebelled against God to the point that God says, look, I'm going to send the judgment. And he says, the slain people are going to fall in the midst of you, and I'm going to do this so that you will know that I am the Lord. So that you will be reminded who's in charge. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38. He says this, I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. He says, look, I'm going to pull out the rebels out of the land, and they're never going to get to come back. I'm going to purge this land. And in my doing this, I am reminding you that, guess what? You can set up all your defenses. You can have everything set that you think that no country can take you. He says, I'm going to prove to you I'm in charge. I'm God. And this is going to happen to you that you may know that I am the Lord. And 22 times throughout the book of Ezekiel, he's God. And we live in a day and age where God sits on the throne. He's still there. He's still in charge. He's still the Lord. He still gets to tell people what to do. And you got churches that say, I don't like what you're telling me to do. And he says, I don't care. I'm the Lord here. And you got families that say, I don't want to live the way that you have laid out in your word. And he says, I don't care what you want. I am the Lord. I set the rules. Oh, how we need to be reminded in our country, God is the Lord. We have one thing to do, submit to Him, follow His word, do His commandments, follow what God instructs us in His word. And it's not about us, it's about who He is. You know, parents have authority over their children. And parents need to understand that they have authority over their children. And parents get to tell their children what to do. And it doesn't matter whether the entire society rejects that thought and that principle. You are given authority, fathers. You have been given authority by God. And you get to tell your kids what to do. And that is a God-given authority that God gave to you. And He is the Lord, and He gave the authority. So that makes the authority valid. And you may have a teenager, you may have somebody, a rebellious person that says, well, you can't tell me what to do. Well, let me tell you, your fathers can tell you what to do. God gave them the authority. And when they speak, you ought to listen. And you follow God's word and you follow what your fathers tell you to do. And you ask them. It is a sad thing what a society has done. And all we need to get back to the Word of God. There are some responses to this in the Word of God. Let's look at a couple. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. Here Peter is there, and God sent him a vision from heaven. Let's go ahead and start at verse 11. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, did Peter know who was talking to him? He absolutely knew who was talking to him. It was not a matter of, I'm trying to figure out, is this from God or is this not from God? Peter immediately responded. He responded. He did not like what God told him. And Peter said, "Not so, who? Lord." Not so, Lord. Peter knew. And Peter says, "God, I disagree with you, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And we know that this was done, that Peter would take the gospel to the Gentiles, and that Peter would not, as a Jew, look at the Gentiles and say, "Salvation's not for you." And God is telling him, salvation's for everybody. But he says, "Rise and eat." And Peter says, "Well, I've never eaten that before. I'm a Jew. That's against my dietary law." And God says, "What I clean, you don't get to call unclean." He says, "Rise and eat." And Peter's response was 100% contradictory. "Not so" and "Lord" do not belong in the same sentence. There is one word that belongs with "Lord." That is, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. Not so, Lord. And we look and we look at the things that God lays out in His Word, and we live in a country and we live in a society and we live in a world that rejects God and rejects the fact that He is Lord, and they will fight against it all day long, and they'll say, "Not so, Lord, I have my way that I'm going to do things." And God says, "Let me remind you who's in charge. Let me remind you that I'm the one that created everything. Let me remind you that I'm the one that gets to, in the end, annihilate the heaven and the earth and redo it how I want to do it. Let me remind you that I am the one that is in heaven and you're the one that's on earth. Let me remind you I'm the one that rose from the dead. I am the Lord." And Peter says, "Oh, not so." Turn to Luke 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Here's another reaction. There's one that is a direct answer. "No, God, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. God, I disagree with your word. Not so, Lord." Then there's another response, and this one is in verse 46 of Luke chapter 6. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That is a good question. God looking down at people all the time saying, "I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Lord, Lord." And He says, "Why do you call me Lord when you're not even doing the things that I tell you to do?" Because it is a direct contradiction. You can't call me Lord. That is lip service. He says, "Show me that I am the Lord. Do what I tell you to do. Obey me." And we look at this, and God establishes there in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God establishes the fact, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord." And it doesn't matter whether we get 300 million people in the United States of America to stand against Him and disagree with Him and disagree with His Word. And it doesn't matter if Canada comes in and they say, like I mentioned this morning to this Christian school, "You can't use these verses, and henceforth, these specific verses you are not allowed to use in your school handbook, and henceforth, beyond that, you are not allowed to use any verses in your school that might be deemed offensive." Well, wait a minute, Canada, you're not God. And wait a minute, millions of people in the United States and everybody that disagrees with the Word of God, wait a minute, who made you Lord? And then we get down to church member that just plain doesn't want to do what God tells them to do, and they say, either not so, Lord, or more often is, Lord, Lord, but I'm just not going to do what you tell me to do. God forbid that we would be in such a state as to forget who's in charge. Not so, Lord? Really? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? God says in Malachi, I am the Lord. Then there's another statement. Let's turn back to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the Lord, I'm not changing. Let's look at Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. We live in a day and age of fickleness of men, people changing right and left. God says, meddle not with them that are given to what? Change. And whether it be churches or pastors or people, meddle not with them that are given to change. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God said it, and God laid it out in his word, he says, hath he said, and shall he not do it? If God said it, is he going to do it? Why? Because he's God. Because he doesn't change. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Look, if God made the statement, it's not changing. It's not changing 100 years from now. It's not changing 1,000 years from now. It's not changing when society changes. It's not changing when churches don't want to follow it anymore. God says, I change not. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, talking about the character of God, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, and we'll skip that phrase just for a minute, which God promised before the world began. But there's an emphasis provided in there, right in the middle of that verse, that you may be reminded that there is eternal life, that God promised it before the world began, and God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. May I remind you, God doesn't change. God isn't going to bend. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, he lays out the word of God. He lays out the law of God. Matthew 5 and verse 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Satan makes a blatant attack on the word of God. He is trying in every way, shape, and form. You watch it. You are getting now King James Bibles that people are altering. You got to watch who you buy your King James Bible from, because they're altering it. And they're, oh, let's change this word here. And it's just one or two words. What are they doing? Oh, how Satan, oh, he is a slippery, slimy, deceitful adversary. And we're going to stand up and we're going to say God has preserved his word and the purity of the King James Bible. And Satan is going to say, if I can just get somebody somewhere to change a word so that somebody can say, bring the King James Bible and compare the King James Bible to the King James Bible and show, oh, there's a difference in the King James Bible. Look, God told what would happen to people that meddle with the Bible. It's written in the last chapter of Revelation. I wouldn't want to be the one that starts meddling with God's word. God says, look, till heaven and earth pass away, not a jot, not a tittle, nothing is going to change in these things. James chapter 1 and verse 17. The book of James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, And then it makes this statement about our God, with whom is no variableness. You know what that means? There's no change. He's not variable. He's not wavering. He's not shifting. Our God is not a shifting sand. Our God is a solid rock. There is no variableness. Look at this next phrase. Neither shadow of turning. He says there's not even a shadow of God that He's changing. You know, the God that we serve is the same God that our forefathers served in the early 1900s. And the same God that we serve is the same God that our forefathers served in the 1800s. And the same God that we serve is the same God that the apostles served in the AD 30 to AD 90 range. And guess what? God has not varied. God has not changed. There has not even been so much as a shadow of turning. From AD 35, we can go back a lot farther than that. Because Malachi was written 400 years before Christ was born. And you can go back further than that, all the way to when God made Adam and Eve. And guess what? God doesn't change. God doesn't change. There is no shadow. There's no variableness. God will not change His word for fallen man when fallen man no longer approves. He's not going to change it. When science changes their mind and says, well, it's not really this way, it's this way. Guess what? God's word still reads the same. And they can change it 300 times, and guess what? They have. They're always changing it. Guess what? They're not God. I believe that God made this world a little bit on the complex side. Why? So that man can't just figure it out. If man could figure it out, then man would be pretty close to who God is. But God making it and setting it up and every detail of nature and all of the order that He does, and by His wisdom He founded the earth. And God laying it all out and doing all that He did there, He makes it just complicated enough that man can be interested in it, but complicated enough that man can't get all the answers. And so man says, well, this is how it happened. We've got it figured out. And 20 years later, another man proves that man wrong and says, well, that's proven to be wrong, so let me give you my idea of what happened. And he gives his idea and lays it all out. And 20 years later, another man comes along and says, I can prove to you why this is false. But guess what? Every statement made in the Word of God is made by God. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. God will not alter His standards because Christians do not like them. They haven't changed. The Word of God is there. The statements are made. God isn't going to change. He doesn't alter it. He doesn't change it because the time... But God! Lord, times are changing. Hey, people say it to pastors. Well, why not just skip the pastor and go directly to God? Say, God, times are changing. Don't you understand? And God says, no, I don't. I'm the Lord. I made the rules. And guess what? With me, there's no change. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. What was good 100 years ago for the Christian is good for the Christian today. Well, God, but this church down the street agrees with it. Well, who made them Lord? Is Hickory Grove Lord? How about Point of Grace? Are they Lord? How about Calvary Baptist? Are they Lord? Do they get to alter the Word of God? Hey, they don't get to. The Word of God is the Word of God. And guess what? I don't get to alter it either. And you can come and you can plead your case and say, well, Pastor, and I can look at it and my heart can plead with you and I can say, look, I understand. I'm not Lord. I don't get to change it for anybody. I don't get to alter it because I understand your situation. It's not my job to change it. God Himself can't change it. So, well, He's the one that wrote it in the first place. Yes. And God said, I am the Lord. I change not. Do you know that when God made that statement, He locked it in? He can't change it. And you know what? That's a good thing. And that leads us to the next phrase of this verse. Malachi 3. Look at this. This. If you would get this. This is great. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not what? Consumed. See, God made a promise. God made a covenant. God looked at the nation of Israel and He said, I will. I'll multiply your seed as the stars. I made a covenant with you. The Messiah is going to come through you. And God said, look, basically what God is saying, I am the Lord, I change not. He says, if I could change, I'd wipe you off the face of the earth. But He says, therefore ye are not consumed. Therefore ye are not consumed. Because I can't break my promises. See, these people, the nation of Israel, they pushed God to the brink. And they did it again and again and again and again and again. And God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. And the only reason that you are not consumed, the only reason that I don't take you right now because of your sin and your wickedness and your sorceries and your idolatries and your false swearing and all of these things leading up to this and your pollution of my table and your false sacrifices and everything that you've done in here, the only reason you're not consumed is because I made a promise and I can't change. And I'll tell you what, great are the promises of our God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for His promises. But you know what? Praise God for the assurance of eternal salvation. God says, I give unto you eternal life. God says, ye shall not perish. And when God made those statements to saved people and people that would be saved, God looks at it and God locks that thing in. And you, praise God, if God could change, we would be consumed. If God could change, look, I still deserve hell. But God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore we look at that. And though I deserve time and 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 time again to lose my salvation, I can't. Because God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And therefore ye are not consumed. I can't send you to hell. Now God doesn't want to. But I'll tell you what. You know how that people can provoke you. And provoke you. And provoke you. And you tell them what to do. And they don't want to listen. And they don't want to listen. And they don't want to listen. And they provoke you. And they provoke you. Well, that's what these people did to God. And I wonder, are we provoking the Lord? Do we in our lives, do we provoke the Lord to anger? Do we just keep on doing the same old thing and keep on saying, not so, Lord? And we have our excuses. And guess what? In this day and age, you can find a preacher in this day and age to justify anything. I believe that. You could find a preacher. I know that you can find a preacher to justify homosexuality. I know that you can find preachers to justify adultery. I know that you can find preachers to justify divorce. You can find independent Baptist preachers to justify that one. I know that you can find preachers to justify what you wear. I guarantee you, you can find preachers to justify getting tattoos. But God said, I am the Lord, I change not. You can find preachers to justify anything under the sun. And guess what they are? They're false preachers. I am the Lord, I change not. You know what? We have many days that we don't measure up. But our God never has a bad day. He's the Lord. Our God never has a weak moment. He's the Lord. He doesn't change. Therefore, we're not consumed. I praise God for eternal security. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But God gave it to us. God is a great and gracious God. God is a merciful God. Turn to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22 and 23. What a verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Look at this next one. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That can be said of our God. How about us? Can it be said of us? Could someone look and say, great is our faithfulness? God says, every morning, I've got new mercy for you. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because the nation of Israel deserved it. You can look at it. You make the judgment. You read the book of Malachi. Does Israel deserve to be annihilated? How about now? Tel Aviv, probably the most wicked city, or at least one of the most wicked cities in the world. Does Israel deserve to be annihilated? But they're not, because God doesn't change. And when we fail our God, do we deserve to maintain that salvation? No, we don't deserve it. And that's why God says, I've got mercy for you, and tomorrow I've got some more. It's new for you every morning. Every morning it's new. And you know what? We need to have mercy with one another. Because, you know what? We all fail. We all fail. Now, we shouldn't fail and fail and fail and fail and fail. We shouldn't be saying, no, Lord, not so. We shouldn't be saying, Lord, Lord, and not doing the things that He says to do. We need to yield to the Lord, because He's the Lord. And we should not tolerate sin. I'll tell you what, any person that has fallen and they want to repent of their sin, any one of us ought to be willing to be there and pray with and for them and pick them back up and encourage them. But if a person's just going to be stubborn in their sin and harden their neck, where is the repentance? Where is that simple phrase, yes, Lord? Do you understand it? See, we live in a society that has done away with obedience. Children in the schools don't have to obey. There is no recompense, there's no consequences for their actions of disobedience. People are taught this. And people get into teenage years, and the natural thing is, well, they're just a teenager. They're going to be rebellious. That's not biblical. It's not biblical that any teenager should be rebellious. Just because society proposes it as the norm does not make it so. and we come on later on into life, those same teenagers, those same children that weren't taught to obey here, the same teenagers that didn't obey and didn't like authority here, those same people become adults, and they live their life saying, "Not so, Lord. I know you said it. I know it's there. I know what's written. I found somebody to excuse my actions, probably a preacher. And you know what? God, I disagree." And God says, "Oh, it's only by the fact that I change not that you're not consumed right now. We need to get on God's page. We need to learn to say, 'Yes, Lord.' I didn't raise my children saying 'Yes, sir,' and 'Yes, ma'am,' 'No, sir,' and 'No, ma'am,' all the time through their life. Because to say it is one thing, to do it is a whole nother thing. And we need to learn to say, 'Yes, Lord.' But it does no good to say, 'Lord, Lord,' and not do the things that He says." And I've met children that they know how to say, "Yes, sir," and "Yes, ma'am," and "No, sir," and "No, ma'am," and turn right around and do the exact opposite of what they just said. I want more than speech. And we as Christians, we need to have more than just, "Yes, Lord." We sang a song in college, "I'll say, 'Yes, Lord, yes, to Thy word, will and to Thy way. I'll say, 'Yes, Lord, yes, let me trust You and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be, 'Yes, Lord, yes.'" And everybody in college learned that song. Does that mean that everybody, because they sang the song, they went out and did what the Lord said? Oh, no. It's not just speech, it's actions. Will you say yes to the Lord? Will you agree with Him tonight? Will you acknowledge tonight He is the Lord? He hasn't changed. No excuses. Don't base it on society. You've got the Word. The Word was good 50 years ago. The Word's good today. The Word was good 500 years ago. The Word's good today. It hasn't changed. Sin is still sin. Wrong is still wrong. Will you say yes to the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray that You would just take right now and speak.